life, I want you to think about something. This has been a mighty army years ago. I want you to think about something. There's a lot of times, I need you to know, there's a lot of times that we can't do a thing about the wind that's blowing on us, but we can adjust the sails. A lot of times we're complaining about the wind when we should be adjusting the sails. Or we're trying to change the wind when we should be adjusting the sails. Columbus would have never made it to America if he wanted a backwind all the way to America and wanted a backwind all the way back to Spain. How'd he get here? He adjusted the sails to meet the needs of the wind. Now, let me ask you a question now. Again, in our life this year, right now, today, there's a lot of winds blowing that we don't like. There's a lot of winds that can actually be deadly. But if we adjust, learn to adjust our sails, we can safely move to where we're doing, to do what we got to do. We've got to remember that. Look at somebody and say, you can't always adjust the wind, but you can always adjust the sails. Amen. Amen, amen. And get your Bibles out. Turn to Psalms 139. A little boy watched and was fascinated as the mother gently massaged cold cream on her face. And he said, why are you rubbing that on your face, Mommy? She said, to make myself beautiful. A few minutes later, she began rubbing the cream off with a tissue. She said, what's the matter, Mommy? Are you giving up? Remember, you can adjust the sails when you can't adjust the wind. If I could, I would take that cancer myself. I told the Lord, I don't know how many times, I'd take it myself, God. Let me have it. If somebody's got to have it, I'll take it. And again, all I hear is, in not these exact words, is adjust your sails. Adjust your sails. Adjust your sails. Okay? Now I know there's a lot of people in here today. They're having problems with what I'm getting ready to talk about. And I want you to listen carefully. Please, keep your mind on the sermon. Don't go through it and go out of here. It's like, you know, I had two guys in my class and when I was a senior in high school, they always talked. While the teacher was talking, they were talking. I can't remember a class when they were not talking back and forth and cutting up while the teacher was talking. When it come test time, they said, where'd this stuff come from? I said, he'd been telling it to us for weeks. He even went over to test with us. Well, I've been here every day, and I haven't heard it. There's a reason they failed that class. It wasn't because the information was not given out. It was not because they weren't told what was coming up on the test. It was not because the test information was already given out. You could pass that test with an A, stand on your head blindfolded. But if you're not paying attention, you're not going to get it. This is too, I look at stuff around us. It's not a mistake that Trump is in office. I look around us. It's not a mistake that Israel and us, our relations have changed. It's not a mistake that the countries now are coming together. And that really, there's a lot of stuff happening. If you really watch Bible prophecy, there's some great stuff happening, but there's some scary stuff happening. To the person that doesn't know what's going on, they're going to be led by fear. And when they're led by fear, they're going to be pushed in a trap and it's going to destroy them. We need to be led by faith. So again, just like this, I'm going to tell you something that can change your life today. Today. That's why I said today. Today. But in order for it to get in your system, you've got to let it get in and then you've got to let it digest. Amen? So it's important that we keep our mind on worship. When these guys are playing, keep our mind on worship and on everything else. Or you know, I remember one time, you know, at Bath Church of God, it was a little bitty church. We had a problem with the heating system all the time and the cooling system. You had to turn on 3 days ahead of time to even come close to heating it or cooling it. And then the thermostat was at the very back of the church. And I guarantee you during service, 10 people will go adjust that thermostat. One pregnant lady adjusted, we all about died. In the summertime, it was 100 degrees outside and 120 degrees inside. Because she decided it was too cold and she went and flipped it all the way up, temperature wise. And so I found out the way to do that, because everybody wanted to check, everybody wanted their own little temperature. The way to handle that was to put a dummy thermostat up there. Do it all you want, but somebody's handling what's needed for the congregation. And it worked. So when you come in next week, and I'm not, this isn't fussing, this is just, the Lord's been speaking to me about a bunch of stuff lately, especially like I said, with Bethany, just let me see how serious, you know, a lot of times I just let things just keep on going, but if I see the seriousness of this and know that, not only because she might not be here next week, we might not be here next week. But none of us have a promise of tomorrow. None of us. And so I don't want us to come in, and I don't want to stand before the Lord. And he says, you know, why didn't you tell him this? Why didn't you say something? Because it's so serious. Why don't you say something? So that next week, when you come in, again, it's not about me. It's about him. If everything's not exactly like I like it, that's okay. If you're married, you understand. Because when you're with your spouse, I guarantee you, man or wife, not everything is exactly like you want when you're trying to live with your spouse or live with your children. You'll get everything you want, but you get what you need to take care of that. Take care of the needs and work around the wants. And so again, next week, I want us to come in here and again, it's not the style, it's not the volume, it's the spirit here that takes care of things. And so come in with that spirit. You know what? Nothing else will matter. It'll be awesome. Absolutely awesome. But here's what I want to talk about today is it's a very, very powerful. Might just keep your Bibles turned there. I just want to go to it in a minute, okay? I'm not going to go to it right now. I want to talk to you for a few minutes, and it's just a few, on identity theft. You say, what in the world are you trying to sell? I'm the new regional manager for the identity theft service around here. Y'all want to buy some? Got nothing to do with that. I'm kidding. I don't have anything to do with identity theft there. Here's what I talk about. Quickly, as a matter of fact, I'm going to do this over several weeks. I started to do it today, and the Lord kept dealing with me, and there's no telling how long this is going to go on. It may go on for a week, it may go on for 2 weeks, it may go on for three. I like that. Identity theft, huh? Just who you think you are. y'all should have laughed. One of the fastest growing problems in the world today is identity theft. One of the fastest growing businesses in this world is people that handle, monitor, and handle and correct identity theft. The guy from the Pawn Stars, he's on about 3, 4, 5 times an hour, advertised about how there are people writing checks in his name and blah, 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 blah. And I remember how just recently, over a course of about 4 months, my credit card was stolen 3 or 4 times. And I thought it was from one of the gas stations I was going to, because every time I get gas there, that night, my car would die. Or the next day it would die. I went to Walmart to use it and it said it's no good. And I said, why is it no good? It should be fine. And I go call him and I said, sir, where you live at? I said, Washington, North Carolina. They said, well, were you in Idaho last night? Oh, yeah, I took Idaho. You know, on the way back to Possum Track, went right through Idaho. And they said, well, did you go to New Bern and buy a bunch of stuff? And I went, where at? And they said, they named off the place. I said, I don't know where that's even at, New Bern. And they said, well, I'm sorry, but somebody has stolen your card. And so they sent me another one. And within a matter of weeks, they said, now we've got it in the script, so nobody can take it. I said, well, good. I'm glad I finally got a card nobody can take. And about 2 weeks later, the same thing happened. I called them and said, I thought nobody could take it. They said, we did too. They said, well, were you in Texas last night? Oh, yeah, I take Texas all the way to Cosmo Track many times. Identity theft. Stealing your numbers. Stealing your cards. It's everywhere. And it's become a very profitable business in this last days. But see, now the same problem I find in Christians all over. You see it all the time at Pitt Detention Center. You know, it's really wild how God works things, because there's a guy at Pitt Detention Center in F Block. I hadn't been able to visit F Block for a couple of months. I go into F Block, and I see the guy that told me that he had stage 4 cancer. And he's getting his stuff while he's at F Block. They're taking care of him. And And I said, well, that's good. And he said, I've had it for several years now. And I said, well, I'm glad to see that you're doing as good as you are. Then I didn't see him for a month. I come back and saw him last month, and there he was again. He said, how's your daughter doing? Since you told me last time that your daughter had stage four, how is she doing? And I started talking to him about her. He said, well, she ought to know. She go to Greenville to the cancer center. I said, yes. He said, well, I see a doctor that called Dr. Nevade. I said, really? That's Bethany's doctor. He said, yeah. So that guy's kept me alive a long, long time. I said, well, I'm hoping that he keeps his record going. Amen. And so then we take Bethany to her appointment. And while we're at the appointment, Bethany points over there. I'm sitting outside in the hallway waiting for him to call her back over in the A section. I'm sitting there. And all of a sudden, Bethany points behind me and starts pointing. I turn around. There's a Pitt Detention Center person dressed in orange, and they got their handcuffs on, and they got two deputies behind them. I turned around, and it was that guy. So here I am. I just messed everybody up. I jumped up, run back there to the prisoner who's in chains, and I said, how you doing, brother? And I put my arms around him, and I start squeezing him. And the deputies looked at me like somebody getting ready to have a bad day. And I said, no, it's all right, fellas. I know this guy. They were coming at me, not him. Praise God. But Bethany got a chance to see the guy who I was talking to, and he had just been there. It was just amazing how God does this thing. Watch this. We live in this weird time. God's doing things. The Pitt Detention Center, I see this problem, identity theft, where Satan has stolen people's identity, and they think that they can no longer be who God's called them to be, and they may get out and say, I'm getting out next week, and you might see him, might not see him for a month or two, then you see him again. There was one guy that I went to high school with, and he told me, he said, I'm getting out. I'm getting out. Next week, you won't see me again. So guess what? About 2 months later, I saw him again. He said, well, this time when I get out, I'm staying out. I saw him again. This time when I get out, I'm staying out. I think I saw him 6 times over in general population. Then I started going over in the F block. And I'm in the F block. I see this guy, and he's looking at me. And I'm thinking, I know this guy. Who is it? And I realize it's that same guy that I've seen 6 times over in general population. And now he's over in the F block in the federal side, and they're getting ready to ship him off to prison. And he said, pray for me. And I went to pray for him, and the Lord spoke to me and said, that guy just does not realize. I tell people this all the time. You don't realize the power that's in you and the power that's present within you to do what you got to do and what God has done in you. The Bible says that the problem in the church, again, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Now again, watch this now. The thief coming not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. What's he want? What's his major attempt on your life? What's the major thing he does? If he just took you out of here, that's one thing. But he just got you out of the way. But in order for you to be effective working for him and still be a Christian and still be in the church, but still be working for him and not even know it, is when he takes your identity away. When he takes your identity away, now you don't even realize that Satan has come along. And he's playing on you, and as he plays on you, he's made a puppet. And if this puppet, he can maneuver and massage you, and you don't even realize that you're being played. So watch this. Satan is the most powerful identity thief on this earth. He knows that it's our natural self-searching. He notices that we have to know how we're doing. We have to know how we're doing before God. We have to have God tell us who we are and what we're to do, and he takes that. And he uses it to his advantage. So now, that's why there's just 3 questions. Everybody in here is going to ask these 3 questions. You can say, not me. Yeah, you do too. Everybody in here. There's not a person in here that doesn't ask these 3 questions. Sometimes you ask them on a daily basis. Sometimes you ask them, depending on where you're at, on your job, then you might ask it in your house, ask it as a father, ask it as a Christian. But we all ask these 3 questions of ourselves constantly. Number one. Who am I? Who am I, God? Talk to me, God. I need to know, who am I? The second thing is, why am I here? What's my purpose? Think about it. When you're on your job and things get hard, and all of a sudden you want to think about taking another job because things got hard, because you haven't stopped to examine this question totally. Sometimes when you're in high weeds and when things are really, really hard and things are really dragging you down, you're thinking, well, God, the best thing for me to do is to find something easier, not realizing that maybe God has called you to that because, number one, it's building you, but number two, you're the kind of person He can use because you won't quit. So, who am I? Why am I here? My purpose, and then how do I get where you're trying to get me? What is it, God? Show me what I need to do. Show me how I need to train. Show me how I need to seek you. What I need to do, God, to get where you've got me going in my life. I like this. And y'all, we can just read it right here. You ain't got to get your Bibles out. I love this. It's right there. It's written right there. See this little feet print? Of course, when D.C. was a baby, that little footprint weren't there. That little footprint went across here. That boy had the biggest feet. Matter of fact, we were going to get his first pair of shoes bronze, but we couldn't afford it because they charged by the inch. Boy had some big feet. All right. Get ready. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. And then just to cap that off, that's individually, but then let's look at us as a whole. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish over the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock, over the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. He created them. Now, how are we created like God? See, God is a trichotomy. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Man is a trichotomy. That's one way how we're, and I'm going to talk about this later on a few weeks down the road, how we are like God in His image, what the image of God really means. But one of the way images, one of the meanings of the image of God is, the trichotomy is, we are flesh, spirit, and soul. Flesh, spirit, and soul. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, trichotomy. Man, flesh, spirit, and soul. Well, the flesh part is the part that is actually how we get around. This is how we move around, what we do, how we carry on in life. The spirit, of course, speaks with God, and the soul speaks with man. So intellect. One means pneuma, one of them means intellect, psyche, and so you got this stuff going on. So we're in that part. We're in the image of God. So there's not a person in here that is worthless. There's not a person in here that God can't use. There's not a person in here that is over. If it was over, you wouldn't be here. You'd be behind here. What's back there? Okay. So now, watch this. Pay careful attention now. Watch this now. I love this. Warning. I put this on my mirror in the bathroom. Reflections in the mirror may be distorted by socially constructed ideas of beauty. Think about it for a minute. Do you look like the latest fad on television? Do you look like the person that just lost 900 pounds on Nutrisystem? Do you look like the person that just got all their hair back because they went and had this men's club? Do you look like this person? Do you look like that person? You say, let me tell you something. In this world, there are two voices. Only two. Look at somebody said there's only two voices. It's only two. Watch this now. Watch. The first voice you hear is the lie. Please listen carefully. This will change your life today. I worked on this thing, I think it was 2 o'clock this morning when I finally got through, so there's some, the dates may be different on there. That's fine. I'm not about the date. I'm about the information, so get ready. There's the lie. That's the first voice. What the enemy wants you to believe about who you are. That's the lie. That's how the devil can hold a Christian hostage. Because he fills your head full of lies and tells you who he wants you to think you are. And what's so crazy about it is there are so many lies he can tell us. He is the father of what? Satan knows how to lie. He can lie with the best of them. Because he's the inventor of the lies. So first voice is the lie. The second voice that we hear in our life is the truth. Now, the truth is what God says about who we are. And I can guarantee you right now, if every last one of us were to be honest with ourselves and think about the battle that's going on within us, Galatians says the flesh and the spirit, there's a battle going on. If we could be honest with ourselves, we've had a conversation in the last week with the lie and the truth. Every time the truth starts getting to you, the lie gets louder. Every time God starts moving in you and the truth starts to get life, the lie gets louder. Why does the lie get louder? Because he doesn't want you. Look like Jack Nicholson said, you can't handle the truth. Maybe we can handle it, but if we can't hear it, it's just like I said, those people in school that sat behind me and talked the whole time. There was another class we had in U.S. history. We had to pass that to graduate back in the day. And I was in the front row, and all my friends were behind me. There was like four of us in a row. I made A's, and the guy behind me made B's, the guy behind him made C's, the guy behind him made D's. We all passed, but that's how we always did, A, B, C, D. One day the teacher came up to the guy behind me and said, you've been cheating on David's paper. He said, I have not. He says, yes, you have. He says, prove it. He said, on question number three, David said, I don't know. He said, so? He said, but you put, I don't know either. He literally started giving us different tests because those guys, he didn't want them cheating. Amen. Every time the truth begins to take hold of you, the identity thief, the Bible talks about it. It talks about the soil. I mean, it talks about the soil, some on rocky ground, and some, it just grows on top of the soil. So when it grows on top of the soil and it's not got a deep root, and here comes the sun can take it out, or the birds of the air can come and pluck it away, because it never gets a chance to get down deep and to get roots. Why? Because Satan doesn't want you to hear the truth about you. He wants to fill your head with lies and then just keep telling you over and over and over. One of the basic things I taught in psychology, some of these guys that go to court, they've told the lie so much that they begin to believe it. They've told it so many times that they begin to believe it, and they get up and swear on the Bible, and they even put, give me a lie detector, I'll tell you the truth. But they've told the lie so many times that they've gotten callous to it, and they believe it. Satan wants you to get calloused and believe his lies. Amen? So when it comes to your identity, there's some lies that Satan wants you to believe. I'm only going to do two of them today, just two of them. Amen. I'm not sure how many more we're going to go. I do have a special one at the end, or close to the end, that I want to talk, that is so powerful, and I want to keep that for the last one, the build up. Amen. But here, let's go to look now. Here's Satan's voice and God's voice. When God's voice talks to you, it calms and it comforts, it convicts, it encourages, it enlightens, it leads, it measures, it heals us. When Satan talks to us, we obsess, we worry, we condemn, we get discouraged, we're confused, we push, we're frightened, we rush. Remember, when God's voice, you adjust the sail. Satan's voice, you curse the wind. Think about it. God's voice, you know there's an answer. You hold on. Satan's voice, you try to make it happen yourself. So watch this now. This is so powerful. The identity thief, this is where he wants you at. He wants you to get confused with Satan's voice and God's voice. He wants you so confused that you take what Satan says as the gospel about you. So now watch this. When you start listening to Satan's voice, here's what happens. First, you get very anxious. I don't know who I really am. You get depressed. I have no hope for the future. You have self-doubt. I'm so inadequate. You become self-conscious, and you go, I'm unacceptable and unloved. You get low self-worth. I'm not good enough. Now, without anybody raising a hand, how many has thought any one of these, one, two, three, or all of these this week? Don't raise a hand. Whether you thought it or not, I can tell you I know this for sure. Satan has tried to throw it at you, one, two, or all of them this week. Whether you believed it or not, whether you held on to it or not, he tried to throw one of these at you this week. So important that we see and that we know and that we understand. This is what Satan's trying to do. He's trying to rob us of our identity in Christ. That's why I know you're saying, well, you know, you're starting to get serious about this worship thing and getting serious about church and serious. Well, yes, because I can see how Satan can get in this and take something good and tear it all to pieces, and we sit there and look and not even pay attention. So we got to watch. This is so important to us. We've got to catch this. When we catch this, when we get it in our spirit, it's amazing how things change. It's amazing how things will go totally just turn around as we begin to think. And it's really amazing how our life will begin to change. So here it is. Watch this now. Watch. The truth or the lie? Which one's it going to be? How many like being lied to? No hands are up. How many like to hear the truth? Even when it hurts. I'd rather be hurt by the truth than comforted by a lie. Come on. I'd rather be hurt by the truth than comforted by a lie. So now watch this. Here we go. Satan in the world has beaten us up with the belief that we're too far out to be used by God. Anybody heard that? By Satan? And sometimes Satan will use this by just planting the idea in somebody else's head and they say it. Somebody that you trust, somebody that you think has got it together, somebody that you can never imagine would be the person to say something like this. And when they say it, or somebody's got all the weight, when they say it, and they may just be saying it out of anger or even out of joking, but still, you hear it, it lands in your spirit, and it begins to get a stronghold in your spirit. I'm too far out to be used by God. I'm too far out to be loved by God. I'm too far out to be trusted by God. Matter of fact, I'm always coming up short. Wow. For years, because I've been in a very legalistic church, for years, every altar call, I spend 30 minutes or more in the altar just asking God to help me because I was not good enough to be used by Him. I was too far out to be loved by Him. I was too far out to be trusted by Him. I always came up short. One of the best things that ever happened to me was when I got assigned to Brother Haslam and he became my intern pastor. That man showed me what real grace was, what real love was, and how God wants to use us more than we want to be used by Him. And I had to spend all my Sundays at the altar asking God to forgive me because I'm not good enough, and stand up and praise Him and let God take care. Look. I said that not long ago to the mighty army. We shouldn't strive to be perfect, because if we're perfect, there's no other chance. There's no room for change if we're perfect. So we should strive to be Christ-like, to be perfect, mature. But I'm going to tell you something. There's not going to be a person in here that's going to be perfect. Perfect, mature, yes, but not perfect. We're all going to have some flaws. So here we go. The Word tells us that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God who created us, He also loves us and accepts us just as we are. Let me ask you a question. If He created you, and He created you with no hair, or created you with short or tall or thick or little or whatever, if He's the one that did that to you, let me ask you a question. Is He not going to accept me that way? I remember coming up, when DC and Daniel were born, they were so different. I mean, what DC wore at 6 months old, Daniel was wearing at 2 years old. We had to buy more clothes in between because we couldn't hand down DC stuff to Daniel until he got about 2 years old. DC was so big, Daniel was so small. But you know what? I remember when DC was born, I thought, I have never experienced love like this in my entire life, ever. And that love was so precious, and it was just so awesome. And I couldn't wait to watch him grow, and I couldn't wait to watch him do things, and just everything. Even when he did some of the craziest mess, I still loved him, and I thought, well, at least he's trying. you know, and I might have to direct him, but at least look, he's doing something, not just laying there in the corner, you know, and I got to, you know, prop him up. He's doing good. And then when I find out his mama was pregnant with Daniel, I said, I don't know how I'm going to be able to love one more like I love this one. I just don't know. There's no way, because I love that boy so much. I cannot tell you how much I love him. And my father-in-law and my father told me, said, don't worry. When they get here, you'll understand. You'll see it, because God has a way of giving you love for all of them, no matter how many you have. And so I watched. And here come Daniel. And again, here it was. Here was that love that I didn't understand, but God gave it to for both of them. Were they the same? No. Did they do the same? No. Was one better in one thing than the other? Yes. Was one bigger than the other? Yes. Could one do something the other one couldn't do, and vice versa? Yes. Did it make me love one more than the other? No, because they were my children. We're God's children. God knows. He knew ahead of time. I'm getting ready to show you something that's going to blow your mind if you haven't seen it. It's right there in the Word of God. But again, we're fearfully made and fearfully loved. And when that message sinks deep into us, we finally catch a glimpse of the goodness of God that's in each of us. It's good news. The news that our uniqueness and our splendor and our beauty. I'm going to read this one more time, but just, I love that. I'm a limited edition because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Did you know that y'all are all limited editions? There's nobody like you. You can take dogs and take identical twins and stick them there and put that dog there, and that dog's going to pick out the right owner, even if they're identical twins. You know why? Because all they're identical, the dog can pick out the difference, because the dog has got extra sensory or extra senses than what we have, and the dog can pick out the two out of the two. Because although they look alike, I got twin brothers, and sometimes I can't tell them apart on the phone, and sometimes I can't tell them apart at a distance. Their own children couldn't tell them apart when they were little. But I can now. But the whole deal is, again, we're all unique. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made. So now, watch this. I love this. I'm going to take my time and read this to you. And I might read it again. This is the Message version of Psalm 139. Oh, yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You are breathtaking. Body and soul, I'm marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How many got things that you were born with you wish you weren't born with? I'm not talking about your brothers and sisters. I'm talking about on your body. How many's got, you know, you might have a mole somewhere, or you might have a defect somewhere, whatever. He knew exactly how you were made, bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. Listen, all the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even live one day. Wow. Tomorrow you may go to work and they might say, well, you're getting a promotion, or well, you're going out the door, or well, you go to the doctor and he says you're doing good, or well, I'm giving you 2 months to live, whatever. No matter what, it may surprise you, but it's not going to surprise him, because your life was already mapped out before your birth. Now, my life was already mapped out before my birth. Doesn't that mean that God also knows the mistakes I'm going to make? If my life was already mapped out, doesn't He know when I take the right turn and when I take the wrong turn before I was ever born? If He knows me that intricately, if He knows me that ultimately knows that everything I'm going to do before I'm born, then what He does is He knows when to put up the roadblocks. He knows when to keep you from stepping over too far this way. He knows when he's going to back up and allow grace to handle, you know, versus law. All this stuff. God is watching us before we're ever born, and he has taken every mistake, every flaw, every sin, every thought in consideration before you were ever born. Wow. How many has done things this week that you're not sure God be too pleased with? Maybe you overate. Maybe you thought something about somebody. Maybe you actually did more than think about it. Maybe you just had a rough week and you said things and done things you wish you hadn't have done. And you're saying, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I disappointed you. Let me tell you something. You cannot disappoint God. You can disappoint me. You can disappoint yourself. You can disappoint your spouse. You can disappoint your children, but you cannot disappoint God. In order to disappoint somebody, then you have to do something that they weren't planning on, something that they weren't expecting, something that they didn't see coming. If he knew you before you were ever born, knew that everything you were going to do, including the steps and the missteps, the mistakes, the triumphs, the victories, the failures, he knew it all, and he formed you and said, I'm going to take all of this stuff, the victories and the junk, and put it all together, and I'm going to make something beautiful out of it. Remember, I got it back there somewhere. We've moved it now somewhere, but over in Israel, they would take vases, and once the vase would get broke, they would take the vase and they would put gold in the cracks, and they would put it back together and weld it back together with gold and reheat it. And what was a $10 vase, once they filled the cracks with gold, it became a $1,000 vase. And what made it so much more expensive than $100 to $1,000 was not the vase, but it was the cracks, the mistakes, the problems. That's what gave it value. So understand something. As Satan's trying to take away your identity, know that God already knows. He knows down the road. He knows. He knows where you're going to be tomorrow, the next week, the week after. He already knows. It was already decided. It was already put together. God watched it and said, I know he's going to make mistakes, but I'm going to love him anyway. I know he's going to go here, but I'm going to take care of it this way. I know this is going to happen, but I'm going to take care of it that way. He's already made a way for us. So let me just read it one more time. Oh, yes, you shaped me first inside and then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You are breathtaking. Body and soul, I'm marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. Me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I even lived one day. We're robots at all. We have free will. But it means that he even knows that what are we going to do with our free will. And prepared means he's already made amends. He's already fixed. He's already done what has to be done. He's already put the stuff in motion. The plans are there. So when we mess up, it don't take him by surprise. So here we go. We're going to talk about just two of them. I love that. Your identity. Who are you? Who are you?
Who are you?
Remember that song?
Who are you?
That was written by a guy in the Who that was having an identity crisis.
Who are you?
Then he went to another band after that.
Who are you?
All right, here we go. Take back your identity. Get ready. I'm going to take the word. Only the word. Because remember, there's many lives, one truth. Y'all say one truth. Many lies, but one truth. Now I'm going to take the word right now, and I'm going to paint a picture of us that belong to him. And I want you to see this. I want you to know this. Next time the devil's beating you up and telling you that you cannot be used by God, that you're coming up short, that you can't handle what's coming your way, that the stuff coming your way is more than you can take, I want you to see this. I want you to understand this, all right? So watch this. Here's, and you might have heard this. Don't raise your hand. But I guarantee when I put this first one up, if I could actually hear the inside of you talk, I could hear a bunch of ouch. Oh! Ugh. You ready? Line number one. My life has no value because I have failed and deserve to be punished.
Ouch!
That's what legalism tells you. That's what religion tells you. I don't want to be legalistic, and I don't want to be full of religion. I want to have a salvation experience with Jesus Christ and walk by faith and walk with grace. So now, the first lie. My life has no value because I have failed and deserve to be punished. Let's talk about the truth. Here's the truth. I have God-given value based not on my past performance, but on Christ who lives in me and who gives me freedom from condemnation. I got to do that one again. The lie. My life has no value because I have failed and deserve to be punished. The truth is, I have God-given value based not on my past performance, but on Christ who lives in me and who gives me freedom from condemnation. So because of that, here we go. This is truth. I'm not going to give you lies. I'm going to give you truth. Remember, how do you fight a lie? With the truth. I told a guy one time, another guy in the Church of God, he was running his mouth about everybody. And he was running about me, and I said, I tell you what, brother, you keep telling that lie on me, I'm going to tell the truth on you. He shut up. How do you fight a lie? With the truth. Ready? I'm free from accusation. He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. All Satan wants to do is tell you what you did. Well, I know what you did. I know what you did last night. You overate last night. You told somebody a little white lie last night. You said this. You said you felt good when you felt like slop. You done this. You done that. I remember what you did in the third grade. I remember when you went to that grocery store as a little bitty boy. I remember what you did when you picked up that little G.I. Joe and put him in your pocket. I remember that time when you done this and this happened to you. I remember when you were on the ball field and when the man said that was not a strike and I called it a strike anyway just so I could make sure my team won. I know I'm calling out some weird things now, but you know we always call out normal things. I'm calling out weird things now because I want you to think about it. He wants to tell you constantly what you did wrong. He wants to beat you up constantly with everything you've ever done. He wants to beat every relationship you've got. He wants to beat up every relationship that you're going to have. He wants to prevent relationships, break up relationships. He wants to break up the greatest one, and that's you and Jesus. So, I'm free from accusation. Go ahead and tell me what I did wrong. I'm going to tell you the truth. When I carry it to God, well, here it comes. I'm free from condemnation. There's therefore no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So you can beat me with it all you want to. Beat me with it. Beat me with it. I ain't got to listen to it. There's things I did in my past I'm not appreciative of. There's things I did in my past I don't like. But when I carried it to God, God said, okay, you're forgiven. So quit letting the devil condemn you with it. There was a time when I wore 4T pants. What's 4T? Four toddler. Guess what? I couldn't get my foot in a 4T. Man. So why am I going to let the devil beat me up over something I did when I wore a 4T? Listen, don't let him beat you up over things in the past. Once you give it to God, he erased it, threw it in the seal of forgiveness, and put up a no fishing sign. You can bring it up to me, devil. And you can try your best to beat me, but it's not going to work because God's already told me it's forgiven and forgotten. The moment I said, I'm sorry, God, forgive me, it was taken care of. Here it goes. Here's another truth. When he says you failed and deserve to be punished, I'm free from the law. So, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. Romans 7:4. Watch this. He may be, look. The law beats you. Satan takes the law and beats you. Religion beats you. The Bible says the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. There are so many times Satan will take that rule book and beat you to death with it, his little rule book, and it's called religion. I remember one time I took DC and Daniel to the circus. To the circus, not a strip joint, to the circus. And somebody met me out in the lobby at church one day, in that very legalistic church, and said, I heard you took your boys to the circus. First time I'd ever come to Washington, I can remember during this time. So I took them to the circus. It was a three-ring circus. It was fun. We had a ball. The boys were a little bitty. I don't know if this even knows about this. Woman come to me, a very well-meaning Christian lady come to me and said, you had no business at the circus with your kids. Said, what would you have done if the Lord had to come back while you were in the circus? I'm pretty sure he'd have said, I'll wait till the act's over, buddy, then you got to go. The letter kills. Legalism is out. I'm free from the law. That doesn't mean I can do anything I want to. What it means is now I can walk freely. I can walk like a man. I can walk around and know that God's forgiven me. Beat me up if you want to in my past, but it's already forgiven. You can try to condemn me, but there's no condemnation in Christ. What you do is the next time the enemy starts pulling this junk on you and telling you this, you start feeding him what I'm feeding you now. You get these scriptures and you feed it to the enemy, to the devil. When it comes to you, you feed it to the devil. You show him, this is, look, okay, maybe I did mess up. Yes, I do deserve to be punished. But watch this and start giving him the truth. You fight a lie with the truth. If you will give him the truth, your life will change today, right now. So. I'm free from the law. I'm free from sin. Does that mean that I don't mess up? No. Does it mean I don't sin? No. What it means is sin has no dominion over me. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive in God in Christ Jesus. Romans 11. Does it mean that I can't mess up? Oh, I mess up. Believe me, I mess up. You don't think I mess up. You ask anybody that lives around me. It'd be so cool to be the preacher because they got it made. They only work a week, an hour or two a week.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you add an hour or two to the other 75 or 80. Yeah, go ahead. I was thinking about that this morning at 2 o'clock in the morning working on this sermon. God, this morning, still working on this sermon. And Bethany came up and said, Dad, you forgot to bandage me. I taught her to bandage her before church. So I had to dress her wound before church. And so I was dressing her wound. And as I was dressing her wound, I'm saying, man, I wish I'd thought about this 30 minutes ago. I mean, I remember the chemotherapy. I remember the thyroid medicine. But I forgot the dressing. You know, life happens. And it happens so strong. But you know what? Although life happens, you don't have to respond to it in a sinful way because you're no longer dominated by sin. And then it said, look, and it said, I'm washed. I'm free. I'm free from God's wrath. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Romans 5:9. These scriptures I just gave you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Take these scriptures, and the next time the devil, next time Satan says, my life has no value because I failed and deserve to be punished, you throw these scriptures at him and say, I won't do it because I don't want to break this. You know how to do now? To take the microphone and go, yeah, and hold the microphone out and drop it. Meaning, I done said all need to be said. You give him those scriptures and say, I done said all need to be said. Run your mouth all you want to. You just will shut it up. Because I got this with God's help. So first, my life has no value because I failed and deserve to be punished. Number two, taking back your identity. Remember, this is taking back your identity.
Here comes another. Ooh. My life has no value since I've done so many things wrong. My life is ruined. You ever thought of that? Please don't raise your hand. My life has no value. I've done so many things wrong. My life is ruined. I sat back and looked, and I got, you know, I sat back and now I've noticed something over the past couple of years. You know, I got some guys in my class that went on to be doctors. Dr. Stevenson, the GYN in Greenville, Tony Cristiano, the heart doctor. We were all in the same grade. And I got some other friends of mine, and some of the guys are like six of the meanest, six of the most mischievous guys. And I was one of them. There were six or seven of us in my class. For some reason, God shows his sense of humor. Because every last one of us are preachers. Isn't that crazy? But over the last couple of years, I have buried about five or six classmates. I remember one day I was sitting there burying a classmate. While I was burying the classmate, my other classmate who works at the funeral home came up to me and said, "Be careful how close you get to that hole." And I thought he was joking. I said, or tell me, watch out. We're not joking, but watch out because it was slippery. And I said, "Is it that slippery?" He said, "No." He said, "We got five or four more of our classmates are at the funeral home right now. Three more. And they were lying in state at the funeral home as we spoke. Now, I sit back and look at all this stuff and think about these guys that died and think about these guys that were doctors and think about us being preachers and think about all the stuff we do. And I think about, you know what? What if I hadn't have been so bad in school? Would I have been a doctor? Would I have been a lawyer? What if I had taken the road this way or road that way? And I got these friends that have all this stuff. And I'm thinking, would I have all this stuff if I went this way or that way? And then Satan will say, watch this. Your life has no value. Excuse me. Your life has no value since I've done so many things wrong. My life is ruined. Let's do some truth here. Ready? I have God value, for I've been given new life in Jesus Christ. Ready? I am redeemed. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of his grace, Ephesians 1:7. He paid the price. So let me tell you something. He paid the price. Quit paying it for him. He paid the price already. The next time the devil starts telling you how your life has no value and tries to get you to pay the price, next time he tries to get you to pay the price, you show him, buddy, I got the receipt right here. I do not have to pay the price anymore. There's the price. He paid it for me. And I'm almost through. Get ready. I want you to write these down. I want you to use these against him. Remember, you fight it with, you fight a lie with the truth. I am washed. That is what some of you were wicked. You were wicked, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. I'm clean no matter what they say. I'm clean. No matter what the devil tries to tell me, I'm clean. Look at somebody and say they're clean. I'm clean. Matter of fact, look at somebody like this. Look, looks like say, smell me and see. I'm like, boom. They might have a healing service. All right, ready? One more. I'm purified. He applies heaven's bleach. If you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. And that word purify means to actually bleach us. How many's ever bleached clothes that you were trying to get white? How many ever bleached clothes that you weren't trying to get white? That's always fun when your wife goes to her favorite shirt and you're doing the laundry. Yeah, I'm doing the laundry. And I'm hoping we can get a brownie point from this. And she pulls it out and it's got speck all over it. Yeah, you got a brownie point, all right. Ready? I'm justified. Y'all say, just if I never did it. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. And finally, I'm sanctified. That word sanctified means to wash off. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were just in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. We were washed off, and He keeps us under the flow. Now I want you to just quickly get your Bibles out. Quickly. I want you to turn to Colossians 3 and 15. Colossians 3 and 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called into one body, and be ye thankful. And let the peace of God, I like that word, peace, because that word peace means it's part of an actual medical term. That word peace means to set at one again. It's actually one form of this word literally means to set a bone back again. It means to stitch up a cut. It means to actually go into a body and take out what's bothering it and put it back together and make it at one again. Let the peace of God, didn't say of us, the peace of God, I love it. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now that word rule, again, that's more of a, that means to be an umpire. It means to be a director. It means to have control in your life. Let the peace of God have control in your life. Let it rule in your life. Because if you'll do this, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called into one body, if it'll rule in your hearts, and again, this is some positive, powerful stuff. Now this word part here is cardia. Cardia is where we get the word cardio, okay? But it means your thoughts. Watch this now. Your thoughts, your feelings, your mind. Also, it's talking about the actual part of your heart that pumps. So you got the life itself. So it's your soul, your mind, your thoughts. It's your passions, your desires, your appetites, your affections, your purposes, all of this. Your understanding. That the peace of God rule in your understanding, rule in your passions, rule in your thoughts, rule in everything. You know, I was reading this week and it really hit me hard. A lot of people that I know, I won't say a lot, I'll just say many, okay? Because I get kind of aggravated when somebody tries to speak for everybody they know, like they know everybody's most intimate feelings. Let me ask you this. There's three words. Starvation, fast food, banquet. Starvation, fast food, banquet. When it comes to God and what He's got for you and your relationship with Him, are you on a starvation diet? You and Him don't talk much. When you do talk, you don't know the word, how to talk to Him, what's really yours and what isn't. You've not read the contract, so to speak. You're on a starvation diet? Or are you on a fast food diet where you just get a bunch of junk, throw it in there and say, okay, God bless it, let's keep going? Are you feasting in the bounty of God? If you're on a starvation diet or a fast food diet, Satan's lies will get you all the time. His lies will get you over and over and over again. But if you're banqueting with God, feasting with God, you're going to recognize those lies. And you're going to be able to throw them to the side. God's got a plan for us. In order for us to get past the feast or get to the feast and leave the fast food and leave the starvation alone, then we're going to have to go to the cross and take all this junk Satan's putting on our back that we don't have to have, throw it at the foot of the cross and move up. Throw it at the foot of the cross Give it to Jesus and let him move up. Y'all guys come on up here and play something. Now we're going to start on, I got more lies up here that Satan loves to tell us, and got plenty of truth to back up or to overcome his lies, but it's here. Next week we're going to talk about it again. And remember, the grand finale is going to be, to me, is just blows my mind. And remember, if you couldn't get all these scriptures down, just let me know. I'll get them to you. All you have to do is tell me. I'll get the scriptures to you. I was riding the other day, and one of my neighbors in her 80s had called me over. And I went over, and I saw some things needed to be done. And I said, sister, I'd be glad to help you. She says, well, would you? I said, yes. I said, I can take care of this and this for you. She says, okay. And as I was backing out of her driveway, I was listening to the radio, and that song, Reckless Love, came on about God's reckless love. As it was coming on, Satan started talking in my head and said, you don't have time to help that lady. You got other things you got to do. It may take longer than you think. You think it's going to take 5 minutes. It's going to take 5 hours. Don't even do it. Blah, 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 blah. And reckless love came on at the same time. And I said, Satan, you're such a liar. You just will get out of my face. God's got this. He left the 99 and went to the one. He's got a reckless love. I'm going to do this for this lady. 5 minutes. If it takes 10, that'll be fine. Everybody stand. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Let me ask you a question. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want you to be honest, and you don't have to, I'm not going to make a spectacle out of you at all. I just want to know so I can pray with you right now. How many in here right now with no eyes open, every head bowed? You would say, Pastor, you hit a nail on the head today. Satan's been telling me that I have failed. And I deserve to be punished. Or he's told me that I've done so many things wrong that my life is ruined. And I need help to show me how to apply this truth and to keep feeding this truth till the lies fade away. Because he's screaming into my ear every time I try to move ahead. With every head bowed, every eye closed, would you slip up that hand and say, pray for me. Lord, touch them right now in the name of Jesus. Touch them right now. Let them know that you're here in a real way and that truth overcomes lies. Truth always overcomes lies. Truth always wins over lies. Ask you right now, Lord, to help them, God, to see, to know, to understand. How many in here with every head bowed, every eye closed? You would say, I know what the truth is, but it's just so hard to apply it because it's hard for me to believe that it's for me because of all the lies Satan keeps telling me. Again, just quickly, would you just stick up that hand? I'm not going to make an example. I just want to tell you that the truth works. The truth works whether we feel it or not. The truth works whether anybody around us believes it or not. The truth is the truth, and the truth cannot be changed. Jesus died for you. Satan's come to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. We don't have to starve ourselves. We don't have to take the fast food route. We can feast at a banquet because Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, if you got a need in your life, any kind of need, the altars are open. The altars are open. Won't you come? Won't you come and pray? Won't you come and pray? God's got this. 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 The next time He tells you a lie and beats you with it, you pick up the truth and throw it back at Him. God's got this. 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 Trust Him. God's got this. Satan, you will not win. Satan, you will not win. Satan, you will not win. God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. Fight it with the truth. With the truth. With the truth. God's got this. His word is powerful. He created the world with just His words. God's word is powerful. God. God has the last word. God has the last word. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, God, that we're free. We're free. We're free. Religion has not a hold on us. The letter is not going to kill us. Satan cannot condemn us. We cannot be taken down. We cannot be destroyed. It's what God says that counts. Not the lies of Satan, but the truth of God. And the truth of God says we are free. If you're in Christ, you're free indeed. Praise the Lamb of God. God's awesome! It's time to rise up and claim our identity and not let Satan keep running us roughshod. It's too close to the end. We are mighty warriors in God. Praise the Lamb of God. God's awesome. God's awesome. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Throw it down at the foot of the cross. Come back next week. We're going to talk about some more lies. And please, if you're ready to see change, take these scriptures and load them up in your memory and start throwing them back at Him. Whenever He tells you a lie, you start throwing these scriptures back at Him and watch what happens. Watch what happens. God's got this. God's got it. Don't say it. God's got this. Amen. Praise God. Father, I love You. I praise Your name. I thank You for Your grace. I thank You for Your mercy. God, I thank You that You're alive and well on the throne, God, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing impossible for You. I ask You right now, Father, to touch and anoint in a very powerful way. Lord, meet every need. We thank You for it in the name of Jesus. I ask You to touch us all. Help us to see, to know, to understand what the truth is and not to believe the lie in the name of Jesus. Might not be everything that I want me to be. I might not be everything that somebody else wants me to be. But I am who You know I am, God, and You love me just like I am. And I'm special in Your sight. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You knew me from the very beginning. You knew my last days. You knew exactly what was going to happen. And You've already plotted the path. Counted all my mistakes. Counted all my sins. And You plotted my path. And I thank You for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I love You. This day's Yours. Name of Jesus, you pray, amen. You're dismissed. Come back Tuesday night. We're going to have fun talking about our purpose.